Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Word of God charges our heart. And by His Word we live, move, and have our being. By His Word, by living by His Word, we thrive in life. And if we won't be denied, we cannot be denied. That was a pool of Bethesda where people would gather when they were sick. They would get people to bring them. When the angel troubled the water, whoever got in first got healed. And one day Jesus went there. And I want to answer a question that many people have with this true thing that happened. Jesus was there and he saw the man that was lame, laying by the pool. His friends brought him there, but they didn't wait for the troubling of the water. And Jesus asked him a question. He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I want to be healed. But every time the water's troubled, somebody else gets in before I can." So to speak, he said. And Jesus said, "Will you be made whole?" Now he couldn't move, nobody to push him in. But Jesus taught like he could do something about it if he chose to. Isn't that something? He could do something if he chose to. What could he do? Jesus said, "Will you be made whole?" By Jesus' stripes we're healed. Healing was available. God asked him, "Will you be made whole?" And then Jesus healed him, and he walked away. A lot of people are undecided about whether it's God's will for them to be healed. You can always go to the promise. Now watch this. Isaiah was the one that stated, "By his stripes we were healed." But most people in that time didn't take the promise before Jesus came, but they could have. It was written, "By his stripes we're healed." Now, no generation has an advantage of the other, because whatever you can have in this generation, this dispensation, you can have and enjoy in any dispensation. Now, the Holy Spirit was given to our generation. We're better off. But the generation before Christ came, there was no promise that God didn't give that they could have been, there's no promise that God gave that they had to do without. Even the Holy Spirit was given, he was upon the prophets and the priests and the kings. And anybody could draw near to the Lord if that's what they wanted to do. Now, two people did it in the New Testament. Simon, and that was a lady who was a widow woman she was married 7 years and her husband died, and she prayed in the temple, and she knew the Messiah was coming. She was looking for him. Now, it's important to know that any promise that God gave you, he gave you. You have to believe it by your faith. Now, a lot of people treat God's word. I was just thinking about this morning. They treat God's word when they study it, they treat it like an education. In education, you read it till you learn it and understand it, and then you got it. And if you practice it, you keep it. And it's not challenged. Whatever doctors learn, they can retain it in their brain, in their mind. And as they practice it, it gets in their heart. And they're called a doctor because of what they know and because of what they can do. Mechanics are the same way. I learned all about engines, how they work, how they function, how to repair them, what to do when things go wrong. And people call me a mechanic or a technician. And, you know, some from every 5 years, I take an ASE test, Automotive Service Excellence Test. And it lets everybody know that I passed the test, because you can't get the patches or the credentials unless you pass the next test. Now, I don't always study for that test. Sometimes the tests will come up and I don't have time to study for it. I didn't realize it was coming, and October comes before I know it. I'm a very busy man. And I told my wife, I didn't study for the test. She said, "Maybe you can write that test." And she, anyway, I went and took the test and passed it. And from the time I first got certified in cars, I never passed a test. I mean, I never flunked a test, even whether I studied or not. Because in education, you can retain it. It's an education. You keep it. Now, the Word of God is different than an education. You can't treat God's Word like an education. The Word of God is a charge. It was always taught and always suggested that it was a charge. We receive the Word, the parable of the sower. Those that received it in their heart, the good ground, they kept the Word. It wasn't challenged away. You know, the people at the wayside, their heart was too hard to receive it. So if people love wickedness, they can't even receive. They won't choose to receive God's Word. And they can't learn it. The wicked, the proud, they can't learn God's Word. The rebellious Jews were blinded. They tried to learn it, and they couldn't learn it. They couldn't be educated in God's Word, according to Isaiah chapter 28, because Isaiah blinded their eyes and their ears. They were dull of hearing. Their heart was fat, clogged. They couldn't hear. They couldn't see. Even if somebody told them, they couldn't understand it. And when the Word came, they couldn't recognize Jesus Christ, because they were hard-hearted. They couldn't receive a godly education. So everybody can't learn God's Word. Only people who humble themselves in faith can learn God's Word. So once we get past that, people that can learn God's Word, some are like the stony ground. You know, a planter among stone, somewhere where there's a lot of rocks and stones, there's not much, they don't get enough dirt to have roots. And when the sun comes up, they wither away. They're challenged. You know, soon after they're challenged, they quit. They quit God. They forget about it. They go back to the world. And they lose the charge, which means they lose what knowledge they had, and it's like they never heard it. It'll leave a fade out of their memory. Because the Word of God is a charge. You learn it in your heart, not your brain. Your mind can be renewed, and your brain can understand it, as long as the heart stays charged with it. So the Word of God is different from an education. It's better than an education, but you have to receive it. Because the Word of God do what God do. If you reject the Word will reject you. If you draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. But the proud people, He resist. Jesus spoke parables to those that were without. And He explained it to those who were hungry. So and His people would receive the parable. And sometimes they understood the parable. And when they didn't, if they asked, then Jesus would break it down, all the way down where they could understand it. And that's how God works. That's how the Word works. If you disagree with the Word would disagree with you. Because the Word of God that you learn is alive. Well, secular knowledge is not alive. It's just facts. Now, all knowledge comes from the heart of God to man. The ability to make engines and understand how the body works, that's knowledge. you can look at it, you can see it. You know, things in this world, you can touch, taste, and smell it. You know, when I'm drilling metal, metal has a scent. The dust from the metal, when you drill it and grind it, it has a scent, a distinct scent. You know, people wouldn't think the metal had a scent, but it does. These are things you can handle with your hands. You can see it. You can throw it. You can pick it up. But the Word of God is alive, and you can't see it. You can read it. But when you receive it in your heart, it's in your heart, and it will renew your mind. And from there, you can speak the word and have all the wonderful promises that God has given us. Now, God loves us. His word loves us. He's for us, not against us. And those who seek the Lord can learn whatever they desire. They can learn these things. But even if you learn the word of God, remember, it's a charge. In order to operate in it, it has to be in your heart first before you can have faith for whatever promise God has given. Now, some people get used to having faith. But if you don't replenish the word in your heart, especially after you've been using the word of God, you can end up like Samson. He did the same things he did after he broke covenant. He told Delilah that he couldn't cut his hair, and when she cut his hair, he lost his ability. Now, the anointing was there, but he broke covenant, and he couldn't activate it anymore until he got back in covenant. Now, same thing with faith. When you study the word, you have faith for whatever promise you need or desire. Whatever you put in your heart, that's what you have faith for. If I study healing scriptures, I have faith for healing. But if I need financial understanding, I got to go and study God's word so I can enjoy financial understanding. You know, believing God for money is one thing, but you have to have good stewardship also. Proverbs will teach us how to have good stewardship and how to steadily retain and manage money. See, the Lord put these things there to help us out, so we'll know what to do. But the Word of God is a charge. If you treat it like a secular education, and you read the Word of God one time and you put it down, that's like driving a car without an alternator. You'll only go so far before the battery depletes, and then the car can't work. You have to have an alternator to charge the battery. And the alternator will keep the battery charged, and then the car can run from that battery. And you won't get but about 8 miles on most cars. The bigger the engine, the less you're driving. You might be able to go a little further on a four-cylinder, down a V8, because there's so many things pulling off that battery. So, if you are a minister, you're a Christian, you have to study so that you can have victory in your personal life. And then you study so that you can be a blessing to others. And you'll have something for God to use, and your anointing will operate. You're feeding other people. So you got to study for your personal life so that you can do warfare, so you can do warfare for others and feed the flock and do whatever business your calling requires. That's how much word you'll have to continually replenish in your heart. Those that stop studying the word and receive and replenishing the word, now, even though you know the scriptures, you've been taught the scriptures, you know it, you were educated in it. But if you treat the Word of God like a secular education, eventually you're going to fail, or you're going to become inadequate. You'll become bone dry. because you have to put the word back so you can have faith continually. Now, faith is always present. It's always present tense. It's always on. When you're about to read a book, you go and turn the light on. The light stays on. The bulbs stay lit until you turn it off. As long as you want them on, they're on. Now, our faith is always on. From the time we first believe on Jesus, our faith is intact. The just shall live by his faith. We stay on. So we have to keep the word of God in our heart so that our faith will always be on, so we can use it as we require. That's why Jesus gave us the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. See, this shows you word management. This parable did. They were waiting on the bridegroom. They had oil in their lamps and they trimmed their lamps. They didn't waste it. Some Christians, they learn something from God and they go out and try to tell everybody that God didn't tell them to tell. And when they tell the wrong people, they argue the word and they waste the word that's in their heart. And they lose the charge, even though they were taught something they desperately needed. Sometimes you have to trim your lamp. You have to hold the word in your heart. Ponder it like Mary did. Go back and study the scriptures to reinforce it. Sometimes the Lord will tell me something word for word, and I meditate on it. But if I'm busy and don't write it down in my heart or on paper, I'll have to go back and ask him what he said. Because all of his word, whether it's written or spoken, is a charge. And I meditate on the word, and I think about it. But whenever I need to, I ask him to tell me again. So that I can, the next time I hold on to it, it happens. He taught me how to write it in my heart. So I stopped writing it on paper like I used to. I used to write it time he said it and go back and look at it. That's capturing the word of God so you can keep it. It's good to write it on paper. It's more important to write it in your heart. You can write it in your heart and never lose it. Because he taught me to do that. I used to write everything he said. Then he said, write it in your heart. And I said, what? He said, write it in your heart. And I would meditate on it until it was permanently etched in my heart. That's the best way I can explain it. Some things I can teach word for word that he taught me years ago. But I think about it. But it's written down in there in my heart. I know that the word of God is a charge, but there are some things you can write in your heart. And you go back into the written word and reinforce it. And you meditate on it, get a clear understanding, and think about it. And mutter it, talk it. This is the way of the victorious. The five virgins that trimmed their lamps and didn't waste their oil, they were ready when the bridegroom came. But the others were cast away and out of darkness. They lost their charge. You lose your charge, you lose your faith. You lose your faith, you're back where you started. People that lose their charge, they go back to playing with the world. They start looking at the world, observing the things of this world, the ungodly things. And then Jesus is going to come back, and he's about to come back any moment now. And there's no need for Christians to be left here. But he said, tell my people my return is imminent. Be ready that they be not left. Charge your heart with the word is the key to being ready. Remaining in the love of God, forgiving people that offended you. And that takes a charge to do that. I immediately forgive people when they do me wrong. If I get angry, I immediately forgive them. Because God forgave me a much worse than what that. No man has ever done me. Their worst deeds against me, you know, I've done God worse than them. And God forgave me of all of my sins. And all of my raggedy living. The things that I did that I hate I did now before I got saved. And even things after I got saved, things that I shouldn't have done or wish I had done. You know, you can have sins of commission, things you did do, and things of sins of omission, things you should have did that you didn't do. And I know that God forgave me of many things. He helped me change and grow. But he forgave me for all. He don't bring it up. And so I'm not going to hold anything against anyone either. And you can pray ahead of time. You can pray for conditions, things that you need. You know, I had a business, and I heard about how people in the mob or gangs, they try to extort your business. And they come by and say, you're going to give me so much money a week, and then we won't bother you. That would, and at that time, that I would, they might not have left alive. I'd have shot them. And I knew it. Because I won't live in fear. I fight before I live in fear. And I don't fear them anyway. But I thought about something. I said, Lord, if somebody do that, I will. I'll probably hurt them. And I don't want to be that way. I don't want to kill nobody, and I don't want to hurt nobody. Because I won't take a threat like that. And I said, I want you to protect me so I don't never have to be in a gunfight. Because this is somebody's nightmare. They're living this problem. Innocent people. They just want to live and raise their children and enjoy their family. And here come this fool trying to wreck their life for money. Foolish man. And I, you know, and the Lord blessed me. I never had a problem. And people are made, I don't mean to call people fools, but some people do foolish things. And I, you know, that kind of activity I wouldn't put up with. And I know I wouldn't put up with it. So I prayed for God to protect my life. But he taught me how to do battle in warfare spiritually. And I've had great, perfect success with when it came to, you know, solving irate battles. People would gun, where I live, they would do gunfights, and I would when I knew it, when I heard the bullets flying, when I heard the guns go off, I would tell Satan, you can't shoot anybody, you can't kill anybody, you can't hurt anybody. It always worked. Always. And so I learned to do, but before the time I asked the Lord to protect me, to help me to not have those kind of problems, you can pray like that. And you don't have to wait till something happens. And if it does happen, you can still take authority and pray. And never have to fire a shot. The thing is, I knew I wasn't afraid to fight. And I knew I'd fight. If I wasn't saved, if somebody crossed me, I'd have been in trouble or they would be in great trouble. But the Lord showed me things that you can do spiritually so that you can go forward. Loving his people is the key. It's always the key. The more we love his people, the more we live. But the word of God is a charge. and we charge our heart with the word, and we can do all that the word says we can do. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not here. Continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.